Lovely to see each and every one of you here this morning. And the presence of the Lord was here at the 9 o'clock service, and six people came to the Lord this morning. It was worth it. So we'll see who comes to the Lord this service. Will you turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, please? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. I'm going to preach on a little unusual word. If you want to entitle it, In the House of Simon the Leper. In the House of Simon the Leper. Matthew chapter 26. We'll read from verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, this is the week before Calvary. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye of the poor always with me, with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Father, would you come in here this morning? The doors are closed. Come in. Shut each and every one of us in with yourself. And may we be guests at this feast in the house of Simon the leper. And may we learn things this morning. And may the Holy Spirit move on our hearts. We're conscious of you, Lord. We're conscious of you. You're lovely, and we'll worship you. So, Lord, come to us this morning and bless us, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Simon the leper, who was he? All sorts of conjectures have been made about him. He might have been the father of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He might have been a neighbor of Martha and Mary, and a common love for the Lord Jesus had united their two households. It seemed Martha and Mary and Lazarus was a well-to-do family, and Simon was not so wealthy, but he wanted to make for the master a feast in which Martha took over, as was her wont to do. A feast for at least 17 people. The 12, the master, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Simon. So sisters, how would you like to cook a dinner for 17 people? So this is what's happening in Simon the leper's house. But it was a feast of love and gratitude. But Simon the leper, that would have been impossible for him to be there. It should have read, Simon, who had been a leper, had been touched and cleansed by the Master himself. And Lazarus, who some days earlier had been raised from the dead, it was quite a feast. Simon the leper healed, Lazarus raised from the dead after been dead 4 days, and outside the house, many inquisitive people who had come to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, and of course, the Master himself. That supper must have been a great testimony meeting. I would have loved to have been at that meeting. They hear Lazarus recall what had happened to him. They hear Simon recall what had happened to him. Simon telling his story, Lazarus telling his. Have you a story to tell? Have you a story to tell? What sort of story can you tell us? If we had a great supper today and a great testimony meeting, what sort of testimony would you tell? Supper must have been great. God was glorified in that supper. But the character that shines in this story is a lady. Her name is Mary. That's the character that stands out there. We know Simon was there. Lazarus was there. The master was there. The 12 were there. But the lady that stands out and shines out is Mary. Three times in the New Testament, this woman is mentioned. First, in Luke chapter 10, you have Mary listening, sitting at his feet. That's something for a woman, because women don't usually listen. Sorry about that. But that's something for a woman. Mary, in Luke chapter 10, is sitting at his feet and she's listening. And then in John chapter 11, you have Mary learning. That's something. You have Mary learning. After the miracle of her brother, she heard the master saying, "The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinners and be crucified." She caught that. The rest didn't. She caught that. See, that's what happens when you listen. You know, there's people here this morning and you're not listening. You see, that's what happens when you listen. The master just said that. That's offbeat. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. She caught that. So here you have Mary learning and you have Mary listening. And then something else. Mary took note of that. And then in our chapter we have Mary loving. Listening, learning, loving. Sisters, that's something for you to do. Listening, learning, and loving. Note the contrast between the two sisters. Both loved the Lord, Martha and Mary. Martha was there. Both loved the Lord. Both served the Lord. Martha was the eldest. She had a working knowledge of him. But Mary had depth. And that depth came through listening, learning, and loving. Now, I enjoy Mary, but I would enjoy Martha more, because I know if I went to Martha's house, I would get supper. I think if Martha was out and Mary was in, I don't think I would get any supper. I would get a theology lesson. And okay, I would enjoy that, but I would be waiting on my tea. I would be waiting on something to eat. And I think with Mary, you'd be waiting a long time. And but Martha was different. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And the Lord loved Martha. And all right, Martha may not have been knowledgeable, but she said, "I love you, Lord. And the proof of my love is I'll make food for you. I'll make a bed for you. I'll have clean sheets for you. You'll be looked after here. I love you." You see, sisters, there's lots of things that you can do for the master if you use your imagination. The trouble with many believers today, they have no imagination. Use your imagination to see what you can do for the Lord. But that depth that Mary had, she saw what others didn't see. And you see, this comes through listening, learning, and loving. Keep saying that when you go home today. Listening, learning, loving. And if you listen and you learn and you love, you see things that others do not see. And on this visit of her master, there was something amiss. There was something amiss. She observed his quietness. She observed his quietness. She observed his mind was preoccupied. Why was that, Pastor? Because in 48 hours, he would be on the cross. Your mind would have been preoccupied, wouldn't it? He knew everything that would happen to him. Three times he told his disciples that they would go up to Jerusalem. He'd be betrayed. He'd be crucified. He would be spat upon. And each time he told it, he would add a bit more until the third time he told everything that would happen to him at Calvary. The scourging, the whipping, the crown of thorns. Now he was sitting in that house, and while he was enjoying his supper, probably the last of the supper, his mind was preoccupied. She noticed his loneliness. You know, sir, in the company of people, you can be lonely. Leaders know that. I have known that. I have a great church, but many a time I feel lonely. Many a time I feel alone. Many a time I feel, does anybody care about me? Does anybody really love me? What am I there for? And you know, this was the master. He was sitting, listening to all the talk around the table and all the rest of it. But he was lonely. He was lonely in his thoughts. He was lonely in his heart. See, I was brought up with the Puritans, and they talked about the inner life of Jesus. The inner life of Jesus. The inner character of Jesus. Most people know about the outward character of Jesus. What about those moments when he went up into a mountain to pray after a miracle? What about after the miracle of the 5,000? He took himself off because he perceived they would make him a king. And he went away and he prayed and he talked to his father about all this. See when you're lonely, brother. See when you're lonely, sister. Talk to your father. Talk to your father. So he was sitting here. And she noticed his loneliness and among those who were giving him this splendid supper. Mary could not comprehend the Lord's death, but she at least showed her sympathy with him and some understanding of the coming tragedy, a thing that not one of his critics had done, a thing that not one of her critics had done. And her thought was, as she watched his face, you see, she loved him. See, if you love somebody, you watch them, don't you? Well, I think so. If you love somebody, you watch them. You watch their moods, you watch their tenses, even watch their temperament. And she watched him. She was observing him. See, this woman had sat at his feet in Luke chapter 10. And remember when Martha complained about her? She says, I'm in here washing all these dishes. I'm in here cleaning up. And she's sitting listening. And do you know what he had said to her, to Martha? He says, Martha, Martha, you're careful. And you're troubled about many things. In other words, your mind is pickled. Your mind is pickled, Martha. But this and that and the other thing. He says, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. And you see, that was the secret of Mary. She had chosen that good part, and it was never taken away from her. And so, this was her thought. She watched his face. What did I do to please him? What could I do to please him? How could I comfort him? She knew that physically she couldn't comfort him because he wasn't interested in physical. But spiritually she could comfort him. What could I do to comfort him? How can I reach his heart and tell him that he is the fairest and the chiefest of 10,000? How can I do that? Brother, have you ever felt like that? Sister, have you ever felt like that? We're living in days of praise and worship, and I love it. We have it in our church. But sometimes I think they love worship for just worship. And sometimes I think they forget who they're worshiping. I think they're worshiping worship. Is he the center of your attraction? He was the center of Mary's attraction. Oh, okay, Mary was not singing, but she was looking at him. And her look was the look of worship. Her look was the look of worship. So, how could I do to please him? And stealing quietly down the street into her room, because Lazarus' house was here, Martha Mary's house was there. Stealing quietly into the house while they were all talking, she goes into her room and opens her bottom drawer. Now, in Ireland, the women have a phrase called the bottom drawer. I'll tell you what the bottom drawer is. Let me get a drink. Have you ever heard of the bottom drawer? Your education's going to be furthered. Now listen, all young girls in Ireland years ago used to have bottom drawers, and they were dreaming of the man that you would marry. And they used to get wee things and put them in their bottom drawer and save it up for their wedding. Do you not remember times like that, darling? Yes, she's shaking her head. Yes. And they would put that in the bottom drawer. And see, she had in her bottom drawer an alabaster box of ointment or perfume. Very expensive. And she says, what can I do with that? And she comes out with it. And this kind of ointment or perfume was made and created in India, and it was used by the wealthy and the middle class. So Mary was a wealthy woman. She was a middle class woman, and she brought this out. And bringing this out, she came in to the master's room and breaks it over his head. And it runs down his garments and breaks it over his feet. And she wipes his feet with her hair. Just going to say in passing, very few women could do that these days. That's a joke with a jag. Is that right? That's a joke with a jag. Very few women could do that these days. She wipes his feet with her hair. And John, in his account of the same story, says she breaks it over his head and wipes his feet with her hair. And the guests and the visitors look on absolutely surprised. It was uncommon for a single or unmarried woman to do that, to loose the tresses of her hair. Only harlots would do that in the open streets. Mary didn't care. She loosed the tresses of her hair. She broke the box over his head and his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. But Mary was no harlot. She was a lovely woman who was in love with her master. And this was her way of saying to him, I love you. But it was something else, something deeply spiritual. The only people who were anointed with perfume or with oil was prophets and kings. And when she did that, she was saying, you're my king. You're my prophet and you're my priest. Isn't that lovely? And when she did that, she was owning his kingship, his prophetic ministry, and his priestly ministry. Mark says in verses 4 and 5, when they saw that there was some that had indignation within themselves. Remember a fellow preaching this, and he says there was some who had indigestion. Probably they had indigestion after the feed and after what they saw broke over the master's head. And they said within themselves, what a waste, and why a waste? What a waste, and why a waste? I wonder, could you turn the light on these notes here, brother, could you? That I could see some of the things that are written. Thank you. Why a waste, and what a waste? And this has been the story of the Christian church for centuries. And it says, and they murmured against her. Now, if you read John's account, John says a thing like this starts with somebody. Somebody has to start this. And it was Judas. And the silly disciples, they all joined in. Isn't that amazing? Don't start anything in the church that's wrong, because you'll get silly people joining in and you'll hurt God's servant. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Judas started it and the silly disciples joined in. They said, what a waste and why a waste? And this has been the story of the Christian church for centuries. And it says, and they murmured against her. And the Greek imperfect sense says, it means that murmuring was the snorting of horses. You've heard a horse snort, haven't you? Well, he says that's what John says. It was like the snorting of horses against this young woman. And John tells us Judas made the complaint against Mary, and all the apostles joined in the chorus of Judas. The critics and the hypocrites are brilliant statisticians. What do you mean, Pastor? The hypocrites and the critics are brilliant statisticians and brilliant accountants, because Judas said it might have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. That's how expensive it was. Remember what Philip said when the Lord fed the 5,000. He says, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread would hardly meet this need. Here Judas says, this could have been sold for over 300 penny worth of bread. 300 penny worth. And given to the poor. And of course it says, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief. And he kept the bag that was put there, and he was pilfering in the bag. And what a woman's wages was. They say that 300 was a very top wage in those days. 300 pence. I don't know what it would have paid, but it was a year's wages. It would have paid a year's rent. It would have paid a year's food, paid a year's expenses. Judas was thinking all this up. And he says it could have been sold more for 300 pence. Any woman would give up a year's wages. And particularly that perfume. Sure, you would use it. You'd put it on your finger and put it behind your ear. You wouldn't pour it on the head. But she poured every drop of it upon the master. So what happens? The murmur. Suddenly, Christ, and I say this reverently, he comes to you. He's been quiet. He's been meditating. And as he does this, he comes to you, and he hears the murmuring. He starts to defend her. He says, let her alone. It's like a whiplash. Let her alone, he says. She hath wrought a good work on me. And Mark, in his account, says, she hath done what she could. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. And what would happen in this church, Brother Terry? What would happen in this church if every member did what they could? We would have a revival in Louisiana. I'm going to say that again. What would happen in this church If every member did what they could, think about it, you couldn't comprehend it. Even this crowd here this morning, if everybody here did what they could in this church, what a church this would be. And this was one lady. This was one lady. And the master says, let her alone. And here's something else that he said. And this has rocked me over the years. And I've constantly told it to my Whitewell people. He said, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. She doesn't understand what she's doing. She loves me. She's come aforehand. She doesn't comprehend everything that's happening to me. But she's come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Do you know, Paul calls the church, which is his body, and we need women to come and anoint his body. Sisters, here's a ministry for you in this church. Here's the way it reads in the Greek. She took beforehand to anoint my body for the burial. But the word that leapt at me was aforehand. Say it. Say it again. If you have loved ones, tell them you love them. Don't be telling them that you love them when they die. Don't be heaping the coffin lid with flowers. Do it while they're living. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing aforehand. Mary did it while he was alive. And Mary did it while she was alive. The thought is that Mary did it while she was alive. You're alive this morning. Do what's in your heart and do it while you're living and do it now. Do it as soon as possible. And if you need someone to commune with, talk to your pastor privately. Nobody else. Commune with your own heart and talk to him. Just the two of you, and don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody what's in your heart. Come aforehand and do it for the glory of God. Oh, of course, Judas says, this could have been given to the poor. Oh, so spiritual, wasn't he? You know what the Lord says? Look at me, brothers and sisters. And I believe in giving to the poor because our church has two missions in Ethiopia and Kenya. Two brilliant missions. Two of the best missions in the world. But listen, having said that, you know what the Lord says? The poor you have with you always. There'll be poor tomorrow. There'll be poor the next day. There'll be poor the next day. Someone says, Africa needs it. Africa is a bottomless pit. You give £1 million to Africa today, Africa will need £1 million next week. You give £1 million next week to Africa, Africa will need another £1 million or another $1 million. The Lord says, you have the poor with you. But me, you've not. In other words, what he was saying, there are moments that the Holy Spirit will lay on your heart to do something to me personally. Do it. Not for the poor, for him. Can I hear a praise the Lord? You're listening to me this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. Do this to me personally. Aforehand. Mary did it while he was alive, and Mary did it while she was alive. There was two other disciples, but they're a bit late in what they were doing. Remember? Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. Remember how the Lord witnessed to Nicodemus and told him that he was born again. Remember, Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple, but for fear of the Jews. Both were wealthy. And then they come out of hiding when he's on the cross and when he's died, and they take him down of the cross, and it's wonderful and all that. And the lamb and Joseph of Arimathea's sepulchre, it's wonderful. But they came out too late. What would have happened if they said, we love him and we're standing for him? That would have been an encouragement to him. You see, the poor you're with you always. And these two contrite cards, that's what I call them. Two contrite cards, took him down of the cross and buried him, wrapped him in fine linen. Oh yes, oh, cost a lot of money to buy the spices and the linen and all the rest. Spent on him when he was dead and buried him. But she did it aforehand. She did it while she was alive. And she did it while he was alive. And didn't he appreciate it? Didn't he appreciate it? Wasn't it a comfort to him? And he went with that comfort. Went into the garden that night. He was betrayed. Went to Caiaphas' palace that night. Went to Herod that night. Went to Pilate that night. Went to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. At 9 o'clock the next morning, he was on the cross. And I believe the perfume of Mary was still on him when he was on the cross. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Think about these things this morning. All of you, think about these things. What an example she is. Do you know what he said in verse 9? Whithersoever this gospel shall be preached, this what this woman hath done shall be recorded as a memorial of her. And how true he was, because I'm talking about it 2,000 years later. Talking about it 2,000 years later. And the only one that's talked about in the scriptures of a memorial is Mary and another guy called Cornelius. Because when the angel came to him, he says, a bright and shining garment, and a holy angel, he says, your prayers has come up as a memorial before God. That was the only one among men as a memorial. Has God laid something on your hearts? It's been on your hearts for weeks and months, maybe on your hearts for years. Go out there and do it. Go on. Take your courage in your hand, as they say in Ireland. Take your courage in your hand and go out and do it. And don't tell the family what you're going to do, because the family will say, oh, now you have to be careful. And yes, do you know what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 30? A man's foes shall they be of his what? Own household. So don't tell your family what you're doing. And God told Abraham to offer up Isaac. Do you think he went in to Sarah and said, Sarah, the Lord has told me to offer up Isaac. What? She had a cloud of him. She said, what? There's no way you're taking Isaac to offer him. He got him up early in the morning. He rose up early in the morning and took him on the 3-day journey. Because he knew if he told her, he would never have taken him out of the encampment. But he brought him back. So take counsel with your own heart this morning. Take counsel and do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. May Mary have a hundred of imitators in this church and everywhere. Is God speaking to you this morning, sir? Is God speaking to you about your love for him? Is God speaking to you about your faithfulness to him? Is God speaking to you of your loyalty to him? Is God speaking of your devotion to him? What sort of a devotional life have you? Do you just come to church? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? If Jesus came today and broke the clouds, would you rise from the seat to meet him in the air? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to get right with God? Are your sins forgiven? Or are you living in a state of unconfessed sin, not going on with God? Oh, may God bless these lessons to your heart this morning. And remember aforehand. You see, aforehand means to come now, not too late. And there's going to be believers, and it's going to be too late to do things for God. It's going to be too late. Judas repented too late. Esau repented too late. Repent now and get right with God and start serving the Lord with all your heart. Say, I'm a failure, Pastor. I've failed him. Start all over again. Start all over again. Start all over again this morning. Start all and say, from today, I'm going on with God. From today, I'm following him. From today, I'm serving him. From today, I'm going to borrow some of the characteristics of this lovely young woman who anointed his head and said, you're my king. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for listening. Will you say, praise the Lord? Will you close your eyes? Close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. Bow your head. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning. He's here. There's no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit is looking for honesty this morning. Is there someone here this morning and you're not right with God, but you would love to be right with God? You'd love to be right with God. You'd love to start afresh, love to start over again, love to serve Him. Where are you this morning? Would you lift up your hand and take it down again, and I'll see it and pray for you. Is there someone here this morning who will say, Pastor McConnell, God bless you, lady. Already she's her hand raised. There's another one with her hand raised. God bless you. Will you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Christ in my life. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. I want Christ in my life. Is there another one this morning? Quickly. Quickly, where? God bless you, young man. Lovely young man. God bless you. Is there someone else? Would you just quickly lift up your hand? Take it down. God bless you, young man, away at the back. God bless you. Is there somebody else? God bless you, lady. God bless you. Thank you. I'm coming down. The Holy Spirit is here. Is there another one this morning? God bless you, lady. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is here. Ask yourself, am I really going on with God? How many is that? Seven? Seven? Is there another one this morning? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Where are you, sir? This could be your last opportunity to do something. Thank you, young man. Sitting on your own. God bless you. God bless you. There's another one down there. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Lady, I see your hand. I see you. You may take it down. Is there another one? The Holy Spirit is here. He's lovely and He's here. He's lovely and He's here. She has come aforetime. It can be too late. It can be too late. You could be doing things and it's too late. Too late. As they say in Ireland, strike the anvil while it's hot. And the anvil is hot. It's God's anvil. There's another one. God bless you. Thank you. Is there another one? Quickly. Quickly, I've got to stop. I think that's 10 people. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Just sitting in front of my pastors. God bless you. For the last time I'm asking, I think that's 10, is it? 10. Now, is there somebody here and you're a backslider? What is a backslider, Pastor? He's a man that started off serving God but stopped. It's a woman who started off serving God but stopped. You still retain, you come to church, but you're not right. Is there a person who would say, Pastor, pray for me, I'm a backslider. I'm going to go on with God. For the last time, will you lift up that hand? Let me see it. God bless you, lady. God bless you, young man. Lady sitting on her own, young man down there. God bless you. God bless you too, brother. I've been watching you, and I know God's been speaking to you. Isn't that lovely? Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I've got to stop. God bless you, lady. The Holy Spirit's stirring God's people here. I think that's 14. Is there anybody else here? Anybody else for the last time? The last time I'm asking. If the last time you'll ever hear me, because I'm old. And look at the state of my health. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be preaching until Jesus takes me with my last breath. Because I love prayer. It's the only time I come alive. Is there anybody else before I close? Anybody else? Come on. I know. And you may be the person that God's going to use. Where are you for the last time? Is there another one? Is there another one? Say, I'm going to go on with God. I've got to go on. I have to go on for the last time. Is there another one? Let me see. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Away at the back. There's another one over there. God bless you, lady. That lady raised her hand beside you. Who is that lady beside you? Is that your friend? Both friends have raised their hand. That's lovely. The Holy Spirit's here. I think it's 16 people now. I've got to finish. And thank you for listening. Would you sit up a wee minute? Would you sit up? Look at me. that you enjoy God's word. That the Holy Spirit speak to you. 16 people have raised their hand. Now, will you go out today and serve the Lord? Listen, we have been impressed by your pastor. Will you do what you can? Will you say amen? Amen. Will you do what you can? Will you help him? Because he's had his sorrowful moments like I've had. But he loves this place. And he loves this church. Rally around him. Let God use you and use him. Let us hear good reports that there's a revival in this church. Can I hear it? Praise the Lord. Put your hands out. Everybody put their hands out. Don't applaud at the minute. Don't applaud. Just put your hands out at the minute. That's right. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And then we'll applaud together. In fact, we'll give God the glory. All right? You ready? Gracious and eternal Father, I come to Thee in the name of Your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for sending Him into the world to die for me, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But You've lifted me, and I believe in You. Forgive me of all my sin. Forgive me of my unfaithfulness. From this morning, lead me on with Yourself. Cover me and my house with the precious blood of the Lamb. And lead me on with Thyself. Bless this place. And bless us in this place. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's give Him the glory. Hallelujah.